throughout the Easter season, we have seen that the liturgy is trying to raise up our hearts, raise up our thoughts, and expand our vision. We have the tendency to narrow down our focus to the immediate demands, the demands of this moment or this day or the concerns of our times. Everybody's fascinated with COVID-19. Well, there's a lot more to life than COVID-19. There's a lot more to the plan of God than a pandemic. And so the Easter season is a great time to allow our hearts and minds to be raised up and expanded to see in faith the grand plan of God, in fact, the heavenly plan, and also to see how his plan unfolds on earth. And today's readings do both of these things. They lift us up to God, to Jesus' relationship with the Father. He speaks about being one with the Father and the Father giving all of the sheep to him. And then in the first reading, we see how the life of Christ in the church is spreading to different nations. So we're being invited to think big. Let's turn to the gospel here. The first verse gives us a setting which you might not pay much attention to, but it's important if we want to understand who Jesus is and what he's revealing about himself. It says it's the Feast of the Dedication. Well, that doesn't mean anything to us. What's dedication? That's dedication of the temple. Actually, it was rededication of the temple after it had been defiled by the Greeks. The Jews came in the time of the Maccabees and restored the temple. So the focus is on the temple here. Then it says that Jesus is walking about in the temple area on the portico of Solomon. I looked it up in the Bible. The footnote says that the portico of Solomon was on the side that was sheltered from the wind. I don't think that's a very significant detail. What's significant is the name Solomon. Solomon is known as the one who built the temple and as a man of wisdom. Those are the two things that stand out in the popular understanding of Solomon. He was a wise man and he built the temple. Well, what is being revealed here is Jesus is the new Solomon and he's the new temple. He's revealing that something new is here. So don't be caught up in the past or in the narrowness. That's what the people are saying here. Why don't you tell us whether you're the Christ or not? Well, even if he tells them, their idea of the Christ is so narrow, limited, that they don't get it. So throughout especially we see this in the Gospel of John, Jesus is constantly trying to get them to think of higher things. Think of Nicodemus. Oh, he misunderstands the message about new birth. You think about the bread of life. You know, they were focused on bread, and Jesus was talking about bread from heaven. And here it is again. Maybe they're hiding from the wind, but they should be opening themselves to the new Solomon. And that's Jesus. Jesus says, the problem is not that I'm not revealing myself. The problem is that you don't believe. He says it twice. You do not believe. So those who do not believe exclude themselves from the flock of the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd is for all. He has sheep that don't even belong to this flock, he says. But those who do not believe don't follow the voice of the shepherd. So as much as we understand, God has this massive vision for everyone, but we also have to believe, we have to follow. Otherwise that vision doesn't benefit us. Now we look to the expansion of the church in the first reading, and this is the great story of the Acts of the Apostles. The faith spreads like fire, like wildfire. It's very good to reflect on this because the faith has a power of its own that's much bigger than the individuals who are given that faith. So we're very few here, and we certainly don't look very powerful or very influential. And it's true, in 100 years or so, nobody will remember us, but the faith will continue. This is one of the great messages of the celebration of the 500th anniversary of Christianity in the Philippines. I think it's tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of Magellan. Have you seen that in the news? Magellan, he died. He was killed. Lapu-Lapu killed him. And the Spanish who came with the faith, they were either all killed or they left. So, great start of the faith. It didn't matter. Because the faith is not dependent completely on human, the human dynamics. It's bigger than that. So the Santo Niño remained, and the seed of faith grew by itself. It grew in the hearts of those who believe. And Lapu-Lapu, he probably never even heard of Christianity. I don't know if he knew what Magellan's religion was. He didn't kill him because he was a Christian. He killed him because he was an invader. So that's the human level. But God used these imperfect instruments to bring the faith. And now, this is a very striking thing, and everyone has been remarking on this, including Pope Francis. The Filipinos have gone all around the world bringing that same faith to practically every country in the world. The Filipinos have become missionaries, bringing the faith that was brought here 500 years ago. Now they, all, as imperfect as Magellan was, they're bringing the faith to places where they work or move. And this is a concern of the bishops. Even if waves of missionaries go from the Philippines to other countries, the church in the Philippines is in decline. So the power of the faith is bigger than anybody, but there's no guarantee that anybody has faith simply because their ancestors do. We know the sad history of the great Catholic nations, in fact, in our own times. Canada is always the example that comes to mind. Very strong Catholic nation in one generation. They lost it all. Well, the Philippines has not suffered that. But the faith has to be shared with each generation and accepted by each generation. Here in this first reading, it says that those who were scattered by the persecution that arose because of Stephen, that's the persecution especially in Jerusalem, they went as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. So outside the Holy Land, outside the chosen, the promised land, it says they went to preach the word to no one but Jews. So they started with the Jews, because that's who God started with. But the faith can't be boxed in like that. It starts to spread to anybody who's open to it. There were some Cypriots and Cyrenians among them, however, who came to Antioch and began to speak to the Greeks as well, proclaiming the Lord Jesus. The faith spreads by people who live and share their faith, usually one by one by one. Not usually by a big evangelization program. Those things help. You can put on a television show and it helps a lot. But usually the faith spreads by one person sharing his faith with another person. Or one family sharing their faith with another family, one neighbor with another neighbor, one employee with another employee, one friend to another friend. That's how it usually spreads. You know the image of the Easter vigil. There's one candle, the priest gets the light from the candle, shares it with someone, they share it with someone, and pretty soon the light, the Easter light, the light of faith, gets spread from candle to candle to candle. And that's evangelization. Pretty soon everybody's got a lit candle. Well, that's what we see happening here. It's not limited to the Jews. It's not limited to the Promised Land. It spreads all the way to Antioch and Cyprus and Phoenicia. And it says great numbers of people. Then it goes back, and this is the big vision. That's what I started with. The Easter gives us this big vision, this expanding vision. But we don't leave behind the individual person, because that's how it spreads. Barnabas, who was sent from Jerusalem to see what was going on in Antioch, and he said, oh, this is great, but he didn't bring the faith here. It's the Holy Spirit is at work here. But then Barnabas goes to Tarsus and looks for Saul. One person looking for one person. He knew Saul already. Remember, Saul has kind of dropped out of the picture for a couple of days. After his conversion, he started preaching in Damascus, remember? And then, so the people wanted to kill him. So they got him out of there. He went to Jerusalem, started preaching the faith in Jerusalem. Nobody knew what to make of this guy. He was supposed to be attacking the faith, and now he's spreading the faith. So nobody knew what to do with him until Barnabas took him and said, wait a minute, this is a work of the Holy Spirit. Barnabas introduced him to the apostles, and Saul started proclaiming the faith until he was threatened with death again, and they sent him off to Tarsus. this guy's life is in danger. So they sent him to Tarsus, and then he disappeared. Nobody heard anything about him. We don't know what he was doing. When Barnabas gets to Antioch, he's inspired to say, well, what about Saul? So he goes to Tarsus to look for Saul. You think evangelization is big program. No, it's Barnabas looking for Saul, his old friend, someone who he knew was a good man, who had received the Holy Spirit and faith. And he brings Saul back to Antioch, and it's in the context of the church that the faith starts to spread and spread. In Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Barnabas, Saul, who we know as Paul, and the faith spreads from those who have faith to those who accept faith. Bigger than any individual person. Yeah, we remember Barnabas, we remember Saul. But most of the people who have had faith, we have no idea who they are, we don't know their names. And 500 years from now, nobody will know us, and they won't know our names. But the same faith will keep spreading to those who are willing to accept it. The flock of the Lord includes all who are willing to believe and follow Jesus. So the psalm says, all you nations, praise the Lord, all you nations. Everyone's invited to be a member of the flock of the Good Shepherd.